Heavenly Father, I thank you that I am the vessel that you are going to use this night, Heavenly Father, to bring forth your word. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, that it is the Holy Spirit in me that ministers that word, and it's going to go out. It's going to go out accurately. It's going to go out clear with no confusion whatsoever. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that their ears are open tonight to hear what you have to say. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that it'll go in, it'll take root, and it is going to grow. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, right now, as we partake of your word, in Jesus' name, amen. 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 All right, you can open up to Psalm, and we're going to look to Psalm 68. Psalm 68, and just so you know, I'm going to be really staying in the Message Bible a lot tonight instead of the King James, but you'll be able to follow me. When you have done all that you can do, and it seems that there's no answer to your problem or your situation, you know, that's when you finally call out to God. You call out to Him in prayer. Then God shows up, doesn't He? Shows up in ways you don't even expect. Amen. So why do we wait? Why do we wait? When you're faced with a battle, who are you going to call? You're going to call on Jehovah Nissi. That's who you're going to call. The Lord our banner, our victor. See, because we have victory in Jesus, don't we, Tim? Amen. And how's it go? Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. The blood, the blood. The blood gives you the victory, hallelujah. It's His blood. Amen. Now, Psalm 68, as I said, but I'm going to read you the first scripture in Psalm 68 in the New King James, the New King James, okay? Let God arise and His enemies be scattered. Let those who hate Him flee before Him. So when you call out to God and He arrives on the scene, the enemy scatters. They don't stick around to fight. They're running because they've already lost. Now, Message Bible, and we're going to concentrate there, verses 1 through 10. Up with God, down with His enemies. Adversaries, run for the hills. Gone like a puff of smoke, like a blob of wax in the fire. One look at God and the wicked vanish. When the righteous see God in action, they'll laugh, they'll sing. They'll laugh and sing for joy. Yeah. Sing hymns to God, all heaven. Sing out. Clear the way for the coming of Cloud Rider. Enjoy God. Cheer when you see Him. The Cloud Rider. You hear that? The Cloud Rider. In Mark 13, verse 26, New King James, it says, then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with dunamis and doxa. That's power and glory, folks. Remember that. Dunamis and doxa. And when you look them up in the Greek, they'll expand beyond that. And when you see what type of power we're talking about, Dean loves that. Dean, always, that's one of his key things. Am I right, brother? Yeah. And the other one is ecstasia is given to us. All right. Well, anyhow, now, the Message Bible in Mark 13, 26 reads like this. And then they'll see the Son of Man enter in grand style, His arrival filling the sky. No one will miss it.
He'll dispatch the angels. They will pull in the chosen from the four winds, from pole to pole. Jesus is coming in the clouds. And when he does, what's the scripture say? We will be caught up with him in the clouds. Because in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 to 17, it says, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the sky. The cloud rider. Awesome. He's the cloud rider. I mean, can you get a picture of that in your head? Looking in, I mean, standing on the clouds and just coming with that majesty, the majestic look that he has. Because when you look at him and he's looking down, ain't no fear. Ain't no fear. And when you look to him like that and you see, you know what you get? You get peace. You get peace. Okay. Back to Psalm, okay, verses 5 and 6 here. Father of orphans, champion of widows, is God in his holy house. God makes homes for the homeless, leads prisoners to freedom, but leaves rebels to rot in hell. Yeah. Gotta love the Message Bible, folks. Verse 7, God, when you took the lead with your people, when you marched out into the wild, earth shook, sky broke out into a sweat. God was on the march. Even Sinai trembled at the sight of God on the move, at the sight of Israel's God. You pour out rain in buckets. Oh God, thorn and cactus become an oasis for your people to camp in and enjoy. You set them up in business, you businessmen. They went from rags to riches. He's talking about us. He's talking about you, businessmen. He's taking you from rags to riches. Not you. He did. He did. That man back there, you hear him, he knows it. His business has prospered because of that fact. Glory be to God. Let me finish here. Verse 10. There is nothing that God can't do. Everything is possible for him who believes in the God of the impossible. Amen? Amen. Yeah, amen. Amen. For with God, that's what it says. For with God, all things are possible. And Jesus said, the things which are impossible with men are possible, are the things which are impossible with God are possible with God. What's impossible for men is possible for God. I got to make sure I get that right. I don't know why it's hanging up there in the tongue. Okay? So let me quote what we've practiced this tonight, but let me quote something to you. To the God of the impossible, we thank you, Lord. When man says it can't be done, you say it can be done. When man says no, you say yes. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Those are the words in the song, All Things Are Possible, by Darlene Sheck. So you think about that. When man says it can't be done, you look to God and you know what he tells you? Yes, it can be done. See, when man tells you no, and you look to God, he says, yes. We'll take care of that. I know every need you have. And I will supply those needs. Yes, you just got to trust me. Amen. Trust me. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Yes. Okay. The greatest weapon that we have in the war against the enemy
is God Himself. He's the one who makes all things possible. Reliance on self, we like to think, will get the job done. Nah. I mean, after all, you know, it's a let's get her done mindset in this world. Let's get her done, right? Yeah. See, but when you're faced with a battle and a mountain gets dumped on your front doorstep, it doesn't take very long to say, let's get God and get her done. Because we can't. When we look at it, we go, oh my. And God says, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Are you talking about that little thing down there? Get that out of the way. That's the way He looks at it. Ain't no mountain for Him. Yeah. Let's get God and get her done, folks. And when He does, and when He does get her done, we should always be quick to give Him all the glory for His miraculous help in the time of desperation and need. But it shouldn't always be in the times of desperation and need, but all the time. For He is the one who directs and makes straight and plain your paths. The Scripture says, in all your ways know, recognize, and acknowledge Him, and He will direct and make straight and plain your paths. When that road looks like this, and there's divots and rocks in it, when you acknowledge God, He takes that and He goes, and that's the path He puts you on. If you let Him. Far too many, though, always seem to say, look what I've done. Look what I've done. Well, let me tell you, the Scripture says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. James 4, 6, by the way. Look what I've done. You know, that should forever be wiped from our vocabulary, replaced by, look what God has done, is doing, and continues to do. To God be all the glory. We need to do that every day. Now let's look to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And again, I'm staying with the Message Bible. And this you'll see is where King Jehoshaphat, man, is faced with a major crisis where he can see no way possible out of looking at it through man's eyes. He knows this is one for God to get because he can't figure out what to do at this point. When he looked at that and those odds that were stacked against him, no, this one is for God, is what he said. You're there in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1. Sometime later, the Moabites and the Ammonites, accompanied by Midianites, not minions, Dean, Midianites, okay? Joined forces to make war on Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat received this intelligence report, and I quote, a huge force is on its way from beyond the Dead Sea to fight you. There's no time to waste. They're already at Hazazon Tamar, the oasis of En-Gedi. Shaken, Jehoshaphat prayed. He went to God for help and ordered a nationwide fast. The country of Judah united. What did they do? They united in seeking God's help. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. They came from all the cities of Judah to pray to God. What did Jehoshaphat do? What's the first thing he did? He prayed as soon as he received that intelligence report, didn't he? And as soon as he heard the bad news, Jehoshaphat sought God and proclaimed a fast. He knew that the success required God's favor. And if God was for them, who could be against them? See, sometimes what's happening to us and what's going on around us, it shakes us up, doesn't it? But it should not. See, it shouldn't do that. See, that's when we can't be moved by our circumstances. Because as much as we are moved by those circumstances, God's not. God's not moved by those circumstances at all. See, what we should be moved by is how much bigger He is than they are. And realize this simple truth here. See, when you put your faith and trust in God, our circumstances become His circumstances. Our battles become His battles. And we don't have to, and we shouldn't worry about them anymore. Because basically, you're in there for the ride. Just ride and watch Him. Watch Him work. You be trusting Him. He can do it. You go along for the ride. When God said, cast all your cares on Him, He meant it. He meant it. We say that, and everybody says, oh, yeah. Well, He meant it. That's why He put it in His Word. 1 Peter 5:7. Amplified. Classic. Okay. Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on Him, for He cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. You have cares, you have concerns. You're worried about your kids. Don't be. Put them in God's hands. Put them in God's hands. I don't care what you think, what you're facing, you put them kids in God's hands. And you watch Him work. I'm a testimony to that. That lady sitting down there put me in God's hands. Rebellious sinner. A rebel. Stands up here at this pulpit. And is ordained as a pastor here. At Aliquippa Christian Assembly. You put that child of yours in God's hands. And He can do a lot better job than we can. Okay, back to 2 Chronicles. Verse 5. Then Jehoshaphat took a position before the assembled people of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of God in front of the new courtyard and said, O God, God of our ancestors, are You not God in heaven above and rulers of all kingdoms below? You hold all power and might in Your fists. No one stands a chance against You. And didn't You make the natives of this land leave as You brought Your people Israel in, turning it over permanently to Your people Israel, the descendants of Abraham, Your friend? They have lived here and built a holy house of worship to honor You, saying, when the worst happens, whether war or flood, or disease, or famine, and we take our place before this temple, and in parentheses says, we know You are personally present in this place. So they take their place
before this temple and pray out our pains and trouble. We know that you will listen. He didn't say, we hope you will listen. He said, no, we will. We will. You will listen to us. And we will be obedient. And what? And he gives victory. He gives victory. Jehoshaphat was acknowledging God for who he was. The God of heaven and the ruler of the kingdoms of the earth. As much as everybody doesn't think he's in control, believe me, he's in control. He's in control. Jehoshaphat tells God he is well aware of his awesome power and how no one can stand against him. Nick, Tim, they're dads. Man, you should have seen the hands on them. Yeah. Can you imagine a fist that God can make?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, you think about that. No one could stand against him. And he tells God, he remembers how he gave them the land that he promised to the descendants of Abraham, his friend, and drove out the people, the Canaanites, who lived there. Jehoshaphat was saying, no matter what may come against us, when we pray, we know that you will hear us and will give us the victory. No matter what. You know, and he'll do the same thing for you and me. What does it say? Whatsoever you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive and you shall have it. But see, you got to believe you received it. Well, I don't see it. You don't have to see it. You just have to believe it. That's our whole problem. We're a seeing generation instead of a believing generation. We got to get to the believing part. And once you get to the believing part, guess what? Manifestation will bring the seeing part around. That's how God works. It's called faith. It's called faith. Okay, let's continue. Now Jehoshaphat, he says in verse 10, and now it's happened. Men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir have shown up. You didn't let Israel touch them when we got here at first. We detoured around them and didn't lay a hand on them. And now they've come to kick us out of the country you gave us. Oh, dear God, won't you take care of them? We're helpless before this Vandal horde ready to attack us. We don't know what to do. We're looking to you. Now, a Vandal horde is a group of people who deliberately damage things without being provoked. And you notice it wasn't one. They had to team up. But guess what? They didn't stand a chance. The people here, they were looking to God for help. Because who else are you going to look to when you're looking at insurmountable odds stacked against you, you think? You know why? Because we're looking to self. We're looking to self. How are we going to answer this? How are we going to take care of that? You can't. You can't. Verse 13. Everyone in Judah was there. Little children, wives, sons, all present and attentive to God. All the people were gathered together in one accord, folks. They were in agreement with the king's prayers and his words. God then answered them by by speaking to them through the prophet Jehazel. Verse 14. Then Jehazel was moved by the Spirit of God to speak from the midst of the congregation. Jehazel was the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, the Levite of the Asaph clan. Asaph, yeah, that's how you say it. He said, "Attention, everyone, all of you from out of town, all of you from Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, God's word." I like the way he starts it out. "Don't be afraid." God told the prophet to say, "Don't be afraid. Don't pay any mind to this Vandal horde. This is God's war, not yours. Tomorrow you'll go after them. See, they're already on their way up the slopes of Zid. You'll meet them at the end of the ravine near the wilderness of Jorel. You won't have to lift a hand in this battle. Just stand firm, Judah and Jerusalem, and watch God's saving work for you take shape." Then he comes back with, "Don't be afraid." And he follows it with, "Don't waver. March out boldly." Anthony, how are we supposed to march out, brother? How do we approach the throne of grace? You ever listen to him pray? He prays boldly because when he goes to the throne of grace, he knows he's going over, he's going to get an answer. That's why he prays that way. Boldly he approaches the throne of grace. And he says, "God is with you." So putting your faith and trust in God gives you the confidence to face whatever it is you're facing with boldness. Folks, the power of the mind, it's amazing, is it not? However, the maker and creator of the mind, he's a whole nother story. You think there's creative power, bro? Guess who created that? God did. Remember, it has nothing to do with your ability. It's what God is capable of, what he is able to do, what his capabilities are. You need a liver transplant, and somebody says, "We don't know if you're ever going to find one," and then somebody walks off the street with a 99% match? Yeah. Come on! Is that not God? Yeah. Verse 18. Then Jehoshaphat knelt down, bowing with his face to the ground. All Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping God. The Levites, both Korahites and Korahites, stood to their feet to praise God, the God of Israel. They praised at the top of their lungs. What did they do? There it is. They praised at the top of their lungs. They said, "Oh, praise you, Lord." No, they said, "Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus." You know, they were shouting because they knew who was going to give them their victory. And what did we read in the scripture? It says, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the victory." It's found in Joshua 6. And that is what we are also supposed to be doing when we're heading into the battle. You're headed into the battle, you praise him. For he has already given you the victory. He's already defeated that battle for you. He's already conquered it in there. You have to realize that. He's already taken care of it. Whatever you're facing, he's already faced for you. If you realize that and say, "I see what's happening here, Lord, but I thank you. I know that you've done delivered me from that. You've already made a way out of that for me. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that if it's a financial obligation, I know that you'll bring in the finances, Lord God, so that I'm able to meet that need. And Lord, if it's a healing, I know, Lord God, that you'll take care of me. I know that you have the power to heal. And I know that you are willing to heal. Because that's what your word says. I am willing. Be thou cleansed. Is what he said to the leper, did he not? He's willing. Are you ready to receive? You ready to receive? But sometimes we don't feel like praising, do we? No. How's the song go, Tim? Feelings is, whoa, feelings, right? Feelings, nothing but feelings. Well, for you see, it's not about what you feel. It's never going to be about what you feel. So we need to stop trying, okay? Once and for all. Once and for all, about making it about the way you feel. Make it about what you know God is capable of. And what is God capable of? Everything. 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 All things. All things are possible. Do you believe? Do you believe? I can't hear you. Do you believe? And who are we supposed to give praise to?
Father, hallelujah.
That's it. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You gotta be not. Don't be ashamed, but speak it out.
Amen.
God wants to hear you. He wants to hear you. You ought to hear her when she's blow drying her hair. Man, she's shouting. I can hear her over that blow dryer. Ah. I should record it someday and play it back for her. I'm in the other room. See, what you may feel will change with weather. But see, not with God. For he changes not. That is what you know to be true. Don't you know that? Because that is an absolute truth. It is a fact that cannot be changed. What did I say the last time? There are no round squares.
Yeah.
It's an absolute. Absolute. Okay, verse 20. They were up early in the morning because they had a good night's rest.
Yeah.
They had peace. They were ready to march into the wilderness of Tekoa. As they were leaving, Jehoshaphat stood up and said, "Listen, Judah and Jerusalem, listen to what I have to say. Believe firmly in God, your God, and your lives will be firm. Believe in your prophets, and you'll come out on top." After talking it over with the people, Jehoshaphat appointed a choir for God. He dressed them in holy robes. They were to march ahead of the troops, singing, "Give thanks to God, for his love never quits." Give thanks to God, for his love never quits. His love never quits. His love never quits. You're marching out to battle. Give thanks to God. Say, your love never quits.
Hallelujah.
You're more familiar with it in the New King James Version, though, right? Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Verse 22. As soon as they notice here how quickly God's response was. As soon, that sounds like immediate, does it not to you and me?
Yeah.
Immediate. as soon as they started shouting and praising, God set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. As they were attacking Judah, and they all ended up dead. The Ammonites and the Moabites mistakenly attacked those from Mount Seir and massacred them. Then further confused, they went at each other and all ended up killed. Wonder who confused them. The battle is not yours, folks. When you trust Him, amazing things will happen. Put your total confidence and trust in the Lord. Let Him take care of the kids. I know that's a lot of concern that a lot of people have. You don't have to have those concerns. Trust the Lord. But see, what did they do? They called on Him. They believed in Him. And they sang praises unto Him. And then it was what? And then God showed up moment. They started singing praises and God showed up. Matthew 19, verse 26. Jesus told His disciples, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So there's nothing that God can't do. Everything is possible. Everything is possible to him who believes in the God of the impossible. We got to get to that point. We got to get there, folks. And I do this too. This is for me too. This is for me too. But I'm telling you, I've seen some drastic changes, some things happening. And if they're happening for me, they're going to happen for you. So I'm sharing with what God's saying. He says, trust me. I can handle it. Ain't nothing I can't handle. I told you, I can meet every need. What are you concerning yourself with for? I'll feed you. I'll make sure you have the money to pay all the bills. You willing to work? Well, you'll have the best job. I can give you that job. But what do you got to do? You got to be obedient. Obedient to God. And when you start doing those kind of things, all of a sudden, then what happens? The favor of God starts falling on you. Don't go in there complaining when you go in on your job. Go in there rejoicing. Praise God, I got a job. I am happy to be here. I don't care how bad it is or what you're feeling like. You go in there saying that, all of a sudden, the people you're having the worst time with, all of a sudden, they're going to start looking at you and saying, oh, hey, how's it going today? Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah. Well, thank you. And the next note, they're going to realize there's something different about you. And the more they get to question you, you're going to end up being able to pray with that individual. And you're going to find favor with those employees that you're working with. You're going to find out you end up with favor with that person that is supervising you. You will find favor with your main employer, the company that you're working for. But who deserves all the glory? God. We should be getting up and giving Him glory every day for everything that we have. Because, Denny, I remember when you did that teaching on that from what you said, listen. Without God, you ain't nothing but a dust ball. Remember that day? Ain't nothing but a dust ball. If God didn't breathe life into us, that's it. Without Him, we're nothing. But with Him, what can I say? So nothing is too big for the big guy. Nothing is too big for that big guy. Now, I say that as out of respect. Not bringing none. I mean, he's the big man.
Yes, he is.
I got a lot of respect for him.
Amen.
Because I wouldn't be where I'm at without him.
There's things that have been accomplished in my life before I got saved because I had a praying wife. And I look back now and I said, okay, I see what you did, God. And I thank you, Lord. Thank you for taking care of me when I was stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. J. Stupid Robinson. Ah. But she prayed. And she said, Lord, he's all yours. So the greatest weapon that we have in the war against the enemy, as I said, is God himself. And when we put our complete faith in him, everything becomes subject to what God wants to do for and in our lives. I got a neat story for you. I think you'll like this one. It's happened back in 1968. It was a whole village in South Vietnam. They experienced a miracle of divine intervention and protection. Under the darkness of night, a Viet Cong soldier, one of a battalion of over 1,000 in the area, came to the village and warned, tomorrow's your day, so if you need to get out of this village, get out now. It turned out that most of this village were Christian. They met together and decided that they were greatly outnumbered, but that indeed Christ was their defender. The whole village agreed that they would turn to Jesus in prayer. Fervently they prayed. Fervently means they prayed in power. Fervently, Nick, power. That's how they prayed. Very powerful. So the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man avails much. And avail is the Greek word is cool, meaning can accomplish much. Remember that when you're praying, your prayers avail much. It's cool. It's cool because it can accomplish much. Your prayers will. You got to believe that. Okay, back to our story. Then at dusk, the people in the village, they could see the enemy moving toward them, right to the edge of the village. The Lord filled their hearts with peace. And they continued to sing. Shots began to ring out. But as soon as they started, they stopped. All night the villagers prayed. Then in the morning it was obvious that the enemy had scattered. What happened? God arose and the enemy was scattered. God was on the scene. Several days later, some of the Viet Cong were captured by advancing forces and brought to the village as prisoners. When asked what had happened, they replied, as we began to shoot, the village was surrounded by beings dressed in shining white. As we shot at them, they just increased in brightness and advanced towards us. They wouldn't fall, so we ran and didn't stop. God caused them to be blown off like smoke and to melt like wax in the fire. He was the greatest weapon of that day for those people. We often forget that sometimes we need to adjust our view of our circumstances and to lift our hearts towards what God can do. Human nature tends to look straight ahead at the circumstances and wonder how, if there is any way, to get out of them. And that's when we get in the way of that need being met. We look to the left, we look to the right, and we even look to the mirror for help. But if we would just look
to Jesus. Just look to Jesus. We would see our deliverance and victory ready and waiting for us every step of the way, each and every day. Each and every day. We need to pray and to thank the Lord for what He's about to do in our lives when we are willing to praise and acknowledge Him in all of our ways. Because He will what? He will direct, make straight and plain your path. Poof! It's not about you. It's all about Him. It's not about what you feel. It's never going to be about what you feel. So stop trying and make it about Him. Not about what you feel. Make it about Him. What you know He is capable of. And what's He capable of? Everything. All things are possible. Everything. Give Him all the praise and all the glory. Every day. It's not just one day a week. You don't come in here and praise God just on Wednesday. You don't come here on Sunday and just praise Him. No. You need to praise Him on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And He hits Sunday, then you gather together with everybody and you have a great praising time, right? You worship and praise the Lord. Because it's a heart thing. It's a heart thing. And everybody says, well, you know what? I really can't get into worship and praise here. Because you guys use tracks. You don't have a live band. I think we do awesome with these split tracks. I think we have some anointed singers. I want to let you come up here and try to sing with those tracks. Guess what? You make a mistake. We know, but guess what? If you're out there and you're praising God with your heart, you'll never see it. Because you're not being judgmental. You're worshiping the Lord. Do you think every one of those, when they were marching out there, were hitting every note perfectly? No. But they were praising. And they were praising loudly. Hallelujah. Because they knew what they had to God on their side, and that as long as they trusted and believed in Him, all things were possible. All things were possible. Amen? Well, that's where I'm going to stop. Tim, come on up here. Teresa, come on up here. We are going to have them close us with a song tonight. And I'm going to go.